put his battery in.
There you go.
Good to go.
Energizer Bunny. Okay. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Originally, I was going to share on Acts chapter 2, but I got so into Acts chapter 1 that I really never got to Acts chapter 2. So Acts chapter 2 will be another day and another time. Before I begin today, I have something I wanted to share, and it's, you may already know this, but it's really, I wanted to bring it back to your memory, if you already know. Thursday night, we had a fellowship here. We had a soup night, and it was really nice, and I was just like so blessed. We got to hang out. We had some soup, and it was just a little get-together kind of thing, and it was really nice, and we got to talk to everybody, and it was just really awesome. Anyway, so we go home, my wife and I go home, and as I'm getting ready to leave, I always say goodbye to Kim last, but I had said goodbye to Kim because she was like standing right next to me, and then I like, you know, sometimes you just like wave anyway. Long story short, Missy was behind the counter, and I went over to Missy and I said, you know, I got you last, and I gave her a hug and a kiss, and I said, great. Now that took all of about a minute, tops, to have happened. We get in the car, we leave. We're going down 76, the Schuylkill Expressway, and all of a sudden, I see this guy ram the side of the concrete, twang around, spin across the road, bash into the other side of the concrete abutment, and shoot back out into the middle of the road. I thought, wow. So Dolores is like, Chuck, we need to stop, man. So I'm like, right, okay. So we go around the rubble and we pull over and we get out and ask the guy, you know, I ask the guy, you're all right. I give her the phone. She dials 911 and the guy was okay. Thank God he was all right and everything was okay. But the point I wanted to make was not that we stopped and helped the guy and it was quite the little blessing for him because if he'd got down on his hands and knees and thanked me, he would have. He said, I can't believe you, like, stopped. Nobody ever stopped. But the fact that the thing is, I stopped to go back for Missy. And that little bit of time is what saved me from being in that car wreck. Because if I'd have been another minute, who knows, I might have plowed right into that guy because literally it was that guy across the road and me. And he could have twanged off. So the point of it all is don't always worry about where you're going and what you're doing. Listen to God because God is always looking out for you. And there's things that God knows that you don't. So always look out for that. Be aware of that. So I just wanted to share that because it was quite a little blessing that I didn't get all smashed up. So that's what I wanted to share for that. Anyway, so today we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 1 or the gift of Holy Spirit, who, what, when, where. And that's what we're going to get into a little bit today. When I started working on Acts chapter 2, I realized how great Acts chapter 1 was. Not that 2 is any less, but there's so much in Acts chapter 1 that you really want to know before you even get started into Acts chapter 2. So that's where we're going to start today, in Acts chapter 1. The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. That word treatises is the word, the former word that I have written. And the former word that was written is Luke chapter 24, and you can flip back there to Luke 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke 24, good. And we're going to start in verse 45. Okay. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, or rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And that word power is the word dunamis, to be clothed with inherent power. That's what it means. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. It's the ascension. That's when this is. And they worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, that's important that you note that they went back to Jerusalem. I got to tell you, it was unreal for me. I don't think I ever realized, and it's sad to say, that the birthplace of today's Christianity, do you know where it started? Jerusalem. Right. It started in Jerusalem. I don't think I ever put that together, as sad as that may sound. But Jesus Christ says, yo, go to Jerusalem. This is where it's going to happen. And that's where they went. And they were continually in the temple. Where? In the temple, praising and blessing God. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. Excuse me. Okay. The book of Acts is the fulcrum or a pivotal point between the old covenant and the new covenant. Now, a fulcrum, if you don't know, is a point. It would be like a kind of a triangle. Or you know what a teeter-totter is? Okay. So you got this teeter-totter. What the teeter-totter sits on is the fulcrum. That's what that is. And the book of Acts, between the Old and New Testament, or covenant rather, is the fulcrum, is Acts. And a fulcrum is an agent through which vital powers are exercised. I thought that was pretty crazy, pretty wonderful, pretty awesome, pretty spectacular. You know, the day of Pentecost, what happened? Holy Spirit came. Vital powers exercised. It's like, is God telling us something or what? I think so. All right. Now, this is not a stretch, and we're not going to prove it today, but in the weeks to come or teachings to come, we will see this. The Old Covenant was up until Jesus Christ, the day of Pentecost, and at that time, it was Spirit upon. Everybody had Spirit, well, anybody that had anything to do with God had the Spirit upon them, the prophets, Jesus Christ, all Spirit upon. The New Covenant is all time after the day of Pentecost. All the time after the day of Pentecost, as we know Christianity as it is today, and that is Spirit within, the gift of Holy Spirit. The Old Covenant ends with the Spirit upon. One man, Jesus Christ, at one place, at one time, and the law. That was the Old Covenant. The New Covenant, begins with Spirit within every Christian, every place, all the time. Everywhere you are, that's where the risen Christ is. It's God in Christ in you. Everywhere you are, that's where Jesus Christ is. I got goosebumps just thinking about it. All right, so let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, so we'll read it again. The former treatises of word have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. In Luke, Jesus Christ was still doing and teaching. He was the one given the guy's instruction. He said, go back to Jerusalem, do this, do that, tarry in the temple. And they went back there and they were praying and they were having joy and it was really great. And that's what they did. Jesus Christ told them what to do. They went and did it. Until the day, he was still teaching until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Excuse me. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus Christ telling them, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. Okay, so this is the day of ascension, the ascension. Let me go back to verse 4. This is the day of the ascension, and it's Jesus Christ giving the last minute details to go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. So that's where we're at so far. For John, verse 5, truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, the verse before, promise of the Father. So it's safe to say that to be baptized by the Holy Ghost is equal to the promise of the Father. And that baptized, if you remember whenever I taught before about the pickle analogy, right? That's what we got here. That's what's working right here, that pickle analogy. We're going to be baptized. It's going to be a full thing, permanent thing, all the time. Okay. Now, why did they have to wait? The reason they had to go and wait in Jerusalem is because, excuse me, the gift had not been given yet. Remember the last teaching that I did, that was Lombano and Decami. I don't know if that was the pickle thing, but Lombano and Decami about receiving. In order to receive, the gift had to be given. And here, just after the ascension, the gift was not given yet. It just wasn't given yet, so it was not available. So they had to go and wait. But once the gift was given, you don't have to wait anymore. Okay, verse 6. For they therefore were come together. They asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. And that is lombano. And power is dunamis. The same dunamis that was back in Luke. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Excuse me. So, what is going to come? The gift of Holy Spirit. Remember I said the who, what, when, where? Okay. So, what's going to come? The gift of Holy Spirit. That's what's going to come. Okay. Verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, excuse me, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And they returned unto where? Jerusalem, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Okay, so ye men of Galilee. Now this is an interesting point also. Excuse me. Let's read 13. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where they abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew. James, the son of Alphaeus, and who?
Alphaeus,
thank you very much. And Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Now, if you count the people that are here, there's 11. There's only 11 apostles here. So Judas had went out and done himself in, unfortunately. Okay, so, ye men of Galilee, Judas wasn't there. He wasn't a Galilean. The rest of the apostles were. And I asked Nick about this a couple weeks ago when I was reading through this. I thought it was really cool that all the apostles were Galileans except for Judas. He was the only one. He was not a Galilean. And you can read that. It's Judas Iscariot, and you can go into that yourself. But the point is, he wasn't there. But you know what? Up until the day that Jesus Christ ascended, Judas could have been turned around. God never gave up on him. Nick and I were talking this morning about giving up on people, just a brief conversation, but you can never, ever, ever give up on anyone. I always believe that the criteria for giving up on someone is when you can look God right in the eye. Think about that. When you can look God right in the eye and say, I've done all that I can do, and there's nothing more that can be done, maybe it's time to step aside. But man, I wouldn't want to be standing before God looking at him in the eye and thinking, yeah, I could have done one more little thing for that guy. Maybe if I'd bought him a candy bar or a cup of coffee or something. That's how you have to look at it. Never, ever, ever give up on people. Ever. Always love them, always care for them, always pray for them, even when it looks hopeless. You don't know if it's hopeless or not. Spirit makes intercession. We just speak in tongues for people, we pray for people, and praise God, them people, it's always available right up until the day they close their eyes for good to get delivered. So, anyway, it's a little sidebar for Judas. Okay. So, ye men of Galilee, okay, the rest of the apostles were. And where were they? They were in the upper room. Mm-hmm. We know this because it was forbidden for women to be in men's living quarters. And that's how we know that. They even had, it was time to have the place cleaned, they even had to have males go in and do the cleaning for them. Women weren't allowed in there. You know, it's kind of another little thing. Although it was a law then, I thought about it now. I don't know, Nick was sharing something. I don't know when it was. But I think he was talking about giving. Was it Kayla a ride home? And I thought, you don't even want to give a wince. A wince. You know what a wince is? Because I don't. But it's a real little amount to the devil. You don't want to put a crack in that door. Because Nick says, he feels pretty confident. But he takes the wife with him. Or somebody else. Why? Because he doesn't want to even give the implication that something's going on. That's what's going on here. Although it's a law, they didn't want any implication. Anybody thinking, oh, what's Mary doing up there? Or whatever. So, where were they?
Upper room.
Upper room. Okay. They were in the upper room. And they come down to a place where they could all gather together. And that place was in the temple. At the hours of prayer, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. That was the hours of prayer. So, what's going to come? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Where are they at? In the temple, a place where they could be all gathered together. They were in the upper room. They met up in the upper room. They went down to the temple. There can be no confusion about that. None. They were in a temple. When I was working Acts 2, it was interesting. In fact, when I teach it, it'll be, or share it, or whatever, if I get the privilege to do that, I said, the place is packed. It was jammed. The temple was jam-packed. They had to be there. That's where they were supposed to be. That's where God told them to go. And Jesus Christ told them to go. Back in Luke, he says, go tarry in Jerusalem. And where did they go? They went to the temple. At the appointed hours. Let's go back to that real quick. Luke 24, 53. You don't even have to go there. I'll just read it. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. During those hours, that's where they were. In the temple praising and blessing God. Okay. Whew, that's great. Verse 14. And all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. See, so they couldn't have been in that upper room. Why? Because the law forbid women to be up there. Wouldn't have looked good at all. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Once again, 120 people. They had to be in a pretty good-sized place. And they were disciples. Peter was what? An apostle. Pretty cool. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he numbered with us and had obtained part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue, Asclepius, that is to say, the field of blood. Excuse me. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let the habitation be desolate, and no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. So somebody had to take the place of Judas. That's where we're at. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So, okay, and they appointed two, Joseph, called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Okay, so two other guys. They were disciples. They weren't apostles yet. How do we know they weren't apostles? Right, because the word doesn't say they're apostles yet. But the other 11 were apostles. Okay, so they take these two disciples, and what are they going to do with them? They're going to make one of them an apostle, as we will see. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might, go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, Matthias is an important guy. He's taken the place of the absent Judas. And so anyway, he's taken the place of Judas. And what's really cool about this is when you get to Acts 2, you'll see that it says, aren't all these that speak Galileans? Matthias was a Galilean. So all of them were Galileans. I get goosebumps. The word just fits so closely together. It's just so amazing when you sit there and look at it and allow God to teach you what he wants to teach you. It's so simple. It's so easy. It's just the best. Okay. Whew. All right. So we got the Galileans. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll get into this Acts 2 a little deeper later, but I felt it's a good thing to finish up with. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, in the temple, having joy, prayer, supplications. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Excuse me. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, all are not all these what? Which speak Galileans. It's just amazing. It's amazing what God does. So all this whole book, it's just the best. I don't know how else to say it. All right. So, but when? So we got what was going to come, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the where were they at in the temple, right? The when, the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's when it is, the day of Pentecost, and who? The 12 apostles, okay? So we see the who, the 12 apostles, the what, the gift of Holy Spirit, the when, the day of Pentecost, the where in the temple. God gave his gift once and for all time. All we have to do is believe, receive, and walk out and manifest that gift, just as the apostles did. Okay? Great. Almighty God, sure are thankful for the greatness of this day. Thank you, God, for the ability to share your word. Thank you that we love you. Thank you that you love us, that you protect us and watch over us. Thank you that we can always go back to the accuracy and simplicity of your word to see how beautiful it is and how much you love us and care for us. Thank you for a great day, for great fellowship, for a great ride home, and for a great day and a great week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.